looking at the website Gas Buddy, fuel prices in Moncton and Sackville are currently above $2 a liter, generally more like $2.08. And the maximum price for diesel, as set by the New Brunswick Energy and Utilities Board, currently stands at $2.23 as we record this on Monday afternoon. So I was just wondering if you could talk about the circumstances of the people who use your services. How hard is it for people to get around in New Brunswick if they're living on a low income? And have you seen a change in the demand for services?
Well, it's extremely difficult for people to get around. The cost to operate and own a vehicle for many is just beyond their reach. And if you're in a rural area, that's even more difficult because, you know, the cost of gas is even worse trying to get into, you know, Moncton, Riverview, Dieppe to do any type of business or to get to medical appointments. So a lot of our people are isolated. They're cut off from central services because they don't have access to transportation. Either they can't afford it or they're unable to operate a vehicle because of disabilities or the effect of aging. So that's typically who we serve, is people that do not have access to transportation. So the cost or the increased cost of fuel does not directly affect them because they're not operating vehicles, although it may affect them in ways of decreasing the pool of neighbors and friends, perhaps, that they can ask for transportation, because the ask is greater, right? Because you're asking them to spend an extra amount on fuel to accommodate those needs.
And your drivers are volunteers. And during a recent presentation at Sackville Town Council, you mentioned that they're reimbursed at 46 cents per kilometer. That's up, as you say, from 41 cents. So that's an increase. But does the higher price of fuel make it harder to attract or retain volunteers? Or are you looking for volunteers in the Tantramar area?
We are absolutely looking for volunteers in the Tantramar area. We could use anybody that wants to step up and volunteer. You can volunteer as much or as little as you want, but there's always a need. And the demand continues to increase, of course, as people hear about the service and people have to, you know, lay up their car because they can't afford to operate it and that sort of thing. But yes, we were reimbursing at 41 cents a kilometer. We've increased that to 46, partially to retain our existing volunteers. We don't want them to ever be in a position where they're taking cash out of their pocket to be a volunteer. We want to make sure the expense is covered, but also to attract new volunteers. You know, we want to be fair to them. We want to make sure that the same applies to them, that they're not taking cash out of their pocket. Their time is their contribution. We've been actively looking to partner with, you know, garages or automotive type services that would, you know, provide our drivers with a discount or provide them, you know, with a free oil change or free tire rotation, or, you know, those type of services that help offset the cost of maintaining and operating their vehicle. We've been successful at that, at creating some partnerships, at getting some discounts. We've also had a really wonderful partnership with NTD Tire Distributors the last couple of years. They've donated a couple of sets of tires, and we've done a draw within our drivers to, you know, somebody wins a full complete set of tires, which is amazing, which tremendously offsets their cost of operating a vehicle. But, you know, any of those type of things that we can do and offer to our volunteers, we would love to partner with anybody that, you know, wants to be a part of what we're doing, wants to be a part of helping the community.
You've applied to the federal government for a grant to purchase wheelchair accessible vehicles. Can you talk about those plans?
Sure. So we became aware that this grant opportunity was coming up last May. And by the time they put the application out, it was a very short period of time to apply, but we had been thinking about, you know, what could we apply? What is the biggest gap? How can we best serve the region? And we know that particularly in our rural communities, there is a complete absence of accessible transportation. So if you're living in a rural community and you are in a wheelchair, you very rarely, if ever, get to leave your home unless you have the ability to purchase your own retrofitted van. So that leaves a lot of people in our community stuck. They're isolated. They're cut off from community events. They're cut off from simple things like shopping that we often take for granted. You know, we just pop into a store and buy what we need. But if you don't have that ability to go anywhere, that's, you know, that's a really hard thing to do. So when we looked at the opportunity, the capital that was available to apply for was up to $3 million. Well, we didn't need that much, obviously. But because there was such a big amount of money, we thought, well, how can we most effectively serve the community? So we partnered with the Regional Service Commission. to apply for an accessible vehicle in each of the 13 entities post white paper transition. So once the transition is over, we know that we'll have 13 entities. And if we can have a vehicle in each of those entities for those communities, we will have done something wonderful and changed a lot of lives. So it's an exciting thing. We've still got a few more months before we know for sure if we've got that grant, but I'm very hopeful and I'm very excited about the way that's going to help our communities.
And one of the features of the vehicles that you've applied for, as I understand it, is as well as being wheelchair accessible, these will be hybrid vehicles, hybrid Toyota minivans, I think. Is that right?
Yes. And another fabulous feature is that it's a side entry ramp. It's not a lift, it's a ramp. So that makes it easy for seniors with rollators to just walk right into the van without that, you know, climbing in or climbing down into a vehicle, climbing out of a vehicle. But it also allows for a wheelchair to be placed in the front passenger seat, which if you know anything about our service, you know that part of what we do is minimizing isolation, making human connections, socializing with people that we're transporting. So to be able to have that client sitting in the front passenger seat, it's full inclusion. It's just like anybody else sitting in a car, going for a drive, having a chat, maybe, you know, stopping and running their errands and whatever. So it takes down all those barriers, which is exciting.
So it's a way, it's not just a way for people to get around to access these essential services, as you mentioned, like medical appointments, but also just a way for people to socialize and break out of the loneliness that they may be experiencing.
Absolutely. We see all kinds of friendships and connections develop between our volunteers and clients. I've had volunteers call and say, look, this is the sweetest old couple. I'm adopting them as my, you know, another set of grandparents. If they need anything, please call me. I'd be happy to drive them. You know, we've had friendships develop where it goes beyond just the transportation. They're inviting people to other community activities. They're making sure that these people are getting included. And the spiral effect is just beautiful. You don't get that with a commercial operation. These volunteers volunteer because they care about people in their community. And you can see that because that care and connection goes beyond just that drive.
Do you think that there's a need for institutionalized public transportation system in rural New Brunswick, something which basically is non-existent at this point?
I think there's opportunities for all forms of transportation to work together. I think there's a lot of gaps that we're not filling, and instead of us all operating independently, if we are working together, so example, your city transportation with the bus system, and then your maritime bus that's doing the longer runs, and all of those forms of transportation, I think there's opportunity to make connections and to work together and to find those gaps. You know, a tourism run, for example, to some of our most visited tourist sites. If we had a bus system or some kind of transit running to those places during tourist season, that would impact the community, it would impact tourism, it would bring money in, but it would also allow young people, perhaps, the opportunity to then go get employment, because there's also a shortage of, you know, young people that can work and that are available. You know, I don't think it's a one-off solution. I think it's something that everybody has to come to the table together. We have to look at what we have and how can we all work together to make sure that we're filling all of those gaps, that people are getting their access to medical care, that they're getting their access to their community social activities, that they're able to visit, you know, tourist sites within our region, and that people that are looking for work have transportation to work.
Okay, well, thanks for sharing your thoughts. Anything else to add, Kelly?
No, other than, you know what, if you're thinking about volunteering, give us a call. You'll love it. We've never had anybody not enjoy it. You'll meet some interesting people. Maybe you'll make a new friend. But if nothing else, you get out and, you know, participate in your community.